Hi, and a very warm welcome to this new podcast around enabling a digital workforce across the NHS. I'm Hannah Rogers, and I'm the lead partner for organisational effectiveness at WorkPal, and I am leading the national conversation with HPMA, where we share views, experience, and best practice around digital at work. Over the past couple of months, we've been re running webinars, sharing blogs, articles, and case studies. And today is a new feature that we're adding where we speak to some of the good and the great when it comes to digital. And today I'm joined by Dr. Liz Meir, and we're going to dive into the role of culture in digital and why it's so critical for success. And Liz, dare I say, is a bit of a legend. And she's got a really impressive and diverse career, having been a chief people officer, a chief exec, a chair, and also an external consultant and advisor across the NHS and innovative digital companies. Liz has really got such a wealth of experience when it comes to digital, and she's also really generous at sharing her knowledge and her experience. So I'm really excited to jump into this conversation, and I hope that you enjoy it as well. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Hannah.
Thank you very much for joining us today. I said in the intro that you were a bit of a legend in the NHS,
Oh, gosh.
which I think is very, very fair, given the diverse background that you've got. So if you wouldn't mind just starting off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and your background, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, we'll do a few words now about the word legend. I don't think I can live up
Oh,
to that, but
oh gosh,
I've
you
had
can.
quite a varied career in the NHS and other places. So I started my career in local government, and I did 17 years there, concentrating on improving customer services for residents. Did a short spell in consultancy in a firm that was worked nationally and would go back in to help you with assignments if you felt the results as a customer hadn't been achieved. You'd go back in and do that. So that sort of commitment to customers and their value for money. Then I was in the NHS for 17 years. I was a director in three trusts, HR director, but I normally combined it with other things. So I did HR and governance, HR and ops, HR and leading the foundation trust process for one trust. I was a chief exec in a foundation trust, and it was a research and innovation intensive trust. So we did a lot of digitalization, new processes, trying new things. And then I was chief exec of an academic health science network. So again, that innovation focus, digital focus, but most of all focused on making a difference for residents and bringing things in that would support them. And also thinking about a coaching culture there and in all the organizations that I've worked in about how you get empower people to make change, to be able to talk about successes and failures and learn lessons. After the NHS, I went to be managing director at Leeds Academic Health Partnership, which was a system role, pulling partners together from the NHS, local government, university sector, colleges sector, voluntary sector, and the combined authority. And then I became semi-retired, which is a bit of a misnomer because I work quite a lot, but I now do. So I sit as an advisor on the WorkPal board. That's why we're having this conversation. And I'm also chair of an integrated care place. I work for some innovative businesses, helping them to work with the NHS to make a difference to residents. And I chair the SBRI national panels, stage three panels. So I've got a real portfolio career. And I also do coaching and facilitation.
Yeah, semi-retired.
Semi-retired. Yeah,
Maybe
that was the idea. Yeah.
Oh, I love that, and it's you're absolutely living up to that title of legend, certainly. I love that digital, by the sounds of it, and innovation was really just sounded like it was a golden thread all the way
Yeah,
through your
definitely.
career.
Yeah, yeah.
And is that something that you almost kind of landed on your plate, or was it something that has always been a passion of yours and something that you naturally gravitated to?
So I think I do naturally gravitate towards it, but I think that what started it when I said I worked 17 years in councils and focusing on resident satisfaction, And when one of the roles that I was in was a role focused on the council's customer services strategy and putting that into practice. So we did a lot of consultation with residents about what they wanted to see. And they said, we don't really want to be coming into the council all the time if we want to transact with you. We just want to phone up and get straight through. We want to be able to go online and pay our bills and query things and apply for things and book a leisure booking and, apply for our benefits online. So I think it came from that. This is how we make a difference to people. This is what people want. So in those roles, I was normally sort of either working closely with or managing the digital team, and we were working with customers to look at how we could make their lives easier and helping them to test things out, thinking about the ease of access. Some people don't want to use that, so how do you have a mixed approach? And I carried that on into my NHS career. So talking to people coming into hospitals, working with volunteers. I was non-exec for Health Education England, and I chaired the People's Advisory Forum, and that was about the effect that training could have on people on the ground. So I think it's come from that passion to support people. And then obviously that extends to staff as well. If you give staff the right tools to do the job, they give much better results for the people they're serving, and they feel happier and more satisfied in the job. So it came into my HR career in that way. So it was all about making the maximum difference to people's lives.
No, that's great. And I think it's that it there's that whole difference, isn't there, between digitization and digitalization. And I think it's you're clearly kind of within that kind of that latter category in terms of the work that you've done, of not just taking an existing process and putting it into a digital form, but very much around redesigning services and ways of working in order to drive a better service and a better experience. And I think that's the topic that we're going to talk about today is around culture and its really critical role in digital. And I think it's that really, isn't it? Is that it isn't
I think
just
so.
moving from analog to digital, but it's really much thinking about that in a very holistic way when it comes to service redesign, essentially. Have you found that in terms of kind of that important role of digital? One of the things I was kind of I've just been writing an article actually that's gonna come out this month, I think later on this month, and it's talking about introducing digital into the workplace and things that are really important to consider, and the stat that's been circulated for years now around at least 70% of digital and IT projects fail, and all of the research around that is about things around kind of people, culture, right environment and conditions, and not necessarily thinking about that in a holistic way. What are your thoughts around that in your experience? Have you seen where it's fallen down potentially because it hasn't looked at those factors in that more holistic manner?
Well, so I think I've been quite lucky actually. So I've always worked in places that have recognised that you need to transform how you're doing things to get ready for digital to be put into place. So I've worked in two, well, one organisation that had a whole team that was devoted to lean processes, and I managed that team. So before we were going to bring any digital changes in, we worked with the team on the ground to help them to redesign, to look at where things were not, maybe as smooth and slick as possible. And you might remember lean, you have a spaghetti diagram, so you follow a customer's journey through your system, and often it looks like a ball of string or like bits of spaghetti going all over a page because it's not a good process for the customer. They're going from one person to another or one process to another. And in healthcare, it is so complex. People can be having lots of stages in their journey to get treatment. So I was really lucky in that respect that I've worked with a team that helped divisions to do that. And then we would layer a digital process on top of the smoothed out process, the ones with the least steps in. And I've also worked in places where you didn't have a team, but you could work through that process beforehand and say, let's just map our customer journey. Let's map where our bottlenecks are. Let's think about if we're going to use digital, how much time have we got for that? Because you hear like digital systems being put in and somebody's got to log into multiple systems. They're clicking through four or five times. That just isn't going to work. How do we design it so we've got one or two clicks through to the digital system? That I think that's all being based on sort of my, I started out talking about a coaching culture that you have to work with people, enable them to plan things, be part of designing it from the beginning for it to be successful. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get that rich experience that comes from people working on the ground or using the services that make digital processes and techniques and systems effective.
Yeah, I think it's such a it's really come into its fore, hasn't it, over the last certainly over the last few years around that user experience and putting users at the center of it. I'm always a bit funny about using the word users because it kind of just it feels so I don't know, kind of
it's a funny word.
It just doesn't feel personal and human enough, but I think kind of that real kind of putting kind of people experience right at the center of it and really understanding what people do at the moment, as you said, what those bottlenecks are, what those opportunities for redesign and reinvention based around what it is that you're actually trying to what you're actually trying to achieve and what the outcome is that you want to achieve. I think kind of doing that user process
and I think coming back to the original question where I've seen things fail. So I think you can put all that groundwork in, but where I've seen things fail because we haven't got enough resources, where maybe you've under anticipated how much resource it will take to put a digital project into play. So you can do all that work, and then if you haven't got enough staff to work with the digital process, make sure it's robust, do the user testing, then I have seen things fail, actually, just thinking back to where I've been in organizations with small digital teams, and we haven't anticipated how much resource we would need to put something into practice. So you can do all that great groundwork, get the right culture, and then people get demoralized and think, well, this is never going to work because there's not the staff available to help put it into place.
I think it's thinking about that resource over that extended period as well, isn't it? And I've whenever I kind of go in and work with an organization, I try really hard for them to encourage them to see it as that longer term process, and that it's not like any other change, especially because culture is so critical, is that it's not a kind of a maybe it's not a kind of a typical kind of project in the way of kind of you've got a kind of a hard start and a hard finish, and actually you therefore need to map that resource all the way along it, and again, because it's culture, the stakeholders who were involved in that is quite diverse and quite multi. It's a multidisciplinary program of work, isn't it? So I think resources is definitely a good observation of kind of one of the things that that can be that blocker or kind of one of those challenges. Coming back to kind of that UX side and kind of that real co-creation and really involving people, one thing that we know it's something that it's always talked about around change and that level of resistance, and I've certainly seen in my experience that there's a bit more of a kind of a heightened level of almost kind of fear around digital and technology. Possibly kind of stem from a number of reasons, you know, not least in the media, it's taught so much around computers and technology taking over from people's jobs. So I think there's a bit of an inherent fear around some of that, but also that there's still quite a lack of understanding around the way that kind of technology can work and how it can enable ways of working and improvement within organizations. And so that kind of maybe that level of resistance can be heightened. So have you found that through that process of more of that co-creation involving people right from the very beginning, have you seen quite a marked difference in terms of that level of ownership, that level of engagement and support for then introducing digital?
Yeah, I think so. I think if people understand that it's going to meet their needs or the needs of a resident or a client coming into a hospital or an organisation, then they tend to sort of think, right, well, we'll try this and let's see how it works. I think where it falls down is where the results aren't as you expected, or you haven't put the resource into making it successful. Mm. So people become a bit jaded with it, and you know, it's hard work to get it into place. But I think there's some amazing technologies out there. And I said at the beginning, I work with some companies. So I won't name check any companies, but I'm working with a company at the moment who have an AI algorithm that can support people on the 2-week cancer waiting list. You take a blood test, and the algorithm can look at who will most likely have a cancer. So they get the treatment really, well, really, I'm saying really quickly, but get the treatment as quickly as possible, resources are put into that person. And for people that haven't, then the GP can like look at them and say, right, what other tests do we need to send them for? Because they haven't got cancer, but there's obviously something wrong that we need to send them for another test. So that's amazing, isn't it? And you know, you think about that as a, if you were somebody on that waiting list, how worried you would be, you know, if you could, we could stratify out those people who most urgently need treatment. But also if you're a member of staff and you know, you're anxious about people on the waiting list, you're anxious about them getting the right treatment, you know, you want to make sure that everybody's looked after well. It's so helpful. So I think there are lots of these like digital technologies out there that we might write off because we see things in the media that make us frightened or think about the future, but they're really having an impact now, or they can have an
Absolutely.
impact. So I think when you see some of these things and think, right, that's amazing. I would want that for myself or my relative or, you know, my loved one. So I think it's all about getting the right things in place with the right procedures behind them to support staff and residents to use them, and then measuring the benefits as well. And
Love
that's one
that.
example. There are loads of examples, you know, where we've got governance tools that support staff. Obviously, like WorkPal, you know, a tool that supports staff with their development and personal needs. And so there's all sorts of things out there that I think if we can get them applied in the right way, so it's not a real difficult process to embrace them, then people will feel more confident about using technology.
Absolutely. I think that's what an incredible example. And I think it's just
Amazing.
you just you will never know everything that's out there, will you?
No,
It's, you know, it's such
no,
a fast-paced
no.
agenda, but I think understanding the opportunities and the benefits of digital and how it is literally disrupting everything that we do all of the time, and particularly the importance of that in healthcare is really important. And for most people who go into the NHS, it's that drive to want to be part of something quite amazing and to be able to
It
help and
is.
look after people and care for them. So I think that's really 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 positive. I really liked also something that you said about the way that you way how you position that with when they're kind of rolling it out to staff. You kind of said, let's kind of give it a go. And I think that's just such an important principle. And one of the things I really love about the principles of digital and tech is more of this agile approach, and just to kind of, I guess, kind of move away from the jargon of it. But it is that, let's give it a go. Let's test it. Let's see what happens with it. But I think that's a really important shift in culture in terms of mindset around its success isn't just about it kind of going out live on this particular date and everything is going to be great. It's about that adaptability, isn't it? Around kind of
No,
let's put
definitely,
it in, let's
definitely.
kind of see kind of what moves, let's see what shifts around, what's the data telling us, how do we take learning from that, and then what's our next best step in order to be able to move that forward. And I think it, I don't know, as an employee who's been in that process before, there's almost like that, and actually even as a leader, it's a bit more comfort that comes with it
I
around
think
it's not on my shoulders that I have to get it right straight away, but actually it's just going to be iterative. I remember when I was working in the civil service and we'd launched a new program in when I was working in OD, and the team came back and said, oh my gosh, we've only had 5% of people sign up to it. And I was like, that's amazing, we've had 5%. That's really great. What can we learn from that? And what can we learn about the other 95%? But that's brilliant. We're shifting, we're moving in the right
Moving,
direction. We've got lots to learn, but you know, there's that, that's more. So I love that part, kind of that
And I,
principle around
yeah.
agile.
Yeah, and I think that's so. I've just been working in an ICS, and they've been putting a shared care record in, and they, like you say, they were really agile. They looked at some of the user and the testing feedback. I said, right, we're going to push our launch date forward a month because we want to learn the lessons, we want to work on that, we want to go out to people who have said, actually, that didn't quite work for me. And that's just a mature system, isn't it? You know, and we launched on a different day. People were really pleased about it. Take up was really good. So that's gonna, you know, I think that will sort of accelerate their journey over time. So I agree with you, be agile, listen to the feedback. If it's failing, can you, one of my favorite sayings is fail fast and pivot. Let's look at why we fail. And then we just need to tweak things maybe, or just go down a different path and we can get this back on track.
I just really, I just think it's, I think, as I said, it's just that automatic level of comfort that just goes with it, of
Being
fail
flexible.
fast, and as you say, kind of pivot. And I think that's the importance of data as well, isn't it, around
It
how
is.
can we kind of take the learning from that and then kind of move forward from it. Something that I wanted to kind of pick your brain about, Liz, was around understanding culture, because it's, and I don't mean that in a sense of the academic terms of what culture is, and a million different descriptions. We're all going to describe it in a different way, which is quite beautiful, actually. But in terms of in terms of kind of understanding culture and understanding the environment in which digital is being introduced. Have you got it? It sounds like that where you've worked, there's been that good grasp of that. There's been a good understanding of the challenges and the real strengths within the organization, and how culture is an enabler for kind of what it is that you're doing. Do you how important do you feel that is in terms of introducing digital to almost kind of have a grasp on that?
So I think culture is all important. I think if you haven't got the right culture for people to be able to speak out if something's not going right, or to say, oh, this went really well, but let's improve it and let's learn some lessons. So it's all about that learning culture, isn't it? And that the style as us as leaders are saying to people, come on, I'm not going to give you the solutions, let's work on this together. So they build up competence and resilience, and you say, right, that didn't work quite well, you know, let's analyze that. So I think it's our style as leaders, and I have worked in places where the leaders have understood what would make a healthy culture, but not role modeled that. So it's so important. If you're a leader, people are looking at you all the time, and if you're not role modeling what you're saying, then you